Miranda.
BB.
You know that...
It's Miss Lynch. You know the Valentine's week? I know it's a big deal often for you because all the flowers, all the chocolates, all the men. Gosh. It's too much. It's almost too much.
Do you know what? I want to get away from it.
I know where you can go.
What can I do? Where can I go?
What about February the 12th?
Yeah.
Phoenix Arts Club.
Yeah.
London.
Yeah.
Guess what's happening?
What?
Two live Good Sex, Bad Sex podcast.
Oh, fuck off.
You fuck off.
You fuck off.
No, you fuck off. But don't you fuck off. Come and see us.
Please.
Buy some tickets. PhoenixArtsClub.com. £10, Miranda.
Oh, that's £10 for us two.
£5 each.
And for two amazing guests.
Two amazing guests. And I think you're going to love it. And we know we love it when you join in, when you email us, when you tweet us. So we'd love to meet you and just...
get married.
I really, really want someone to stroke my hair.
Yeah. Yeah. See you then, February 12th.
Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex, a podcast from metro.co.uk.
It's a bit like having a donut, but with a bigger hole.
Oh. Why did that happen? My name is BB Lynch.
And I'm Miranda Kay.
And please do check out our blogs at metro.co.uk.
And this week we are back chatting to friend o' show, Alex Fox.
I'm a journalist and broadcaster specialising in sexual education.
Miranda, what do you think, what do you hope Alex is talking about today?
I think, well, we're just coming to the end of HIV testing awareness week.
Right.
So I've got a funny, my spider sense is going.
Yeah.
That she's going to be talking about that.
Yeah.
Because she did talk about it again the last time we saw her.
Right.
So I think she's going to tell
us. She's going to pick up that baton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm interested.
Hello, Alex Fox.
Hello. Hello, Wonder Waffles. Right. Extra guzzling syrup.
Oh, my favourite kind of
syrup. You can see that from here. I can smell it.
Radio. Thank you.
Mapley.
Because we've dragged you in again.
Yeah.
It's because... not dragged. I came willingly. I bounded and bounced through the door. Yeah, I love being here. You rock like a weeble in an earthquake, you two.
I look like a weeble now.
You don't.
I look like a weeble. Anyway, it's your hour.
You kind of look like a modernist Where's Wally today.
I do.
Thin striped top. I'm into it.
Yeah. Nice. Can we just have a little moment for my tiger feet?
Your tiger feet. God, well,
thank you.
Sweet.
I've got little tiger trainers on, which I'm
How
loving.
Many tigers died? just the two babies.
Yeah. Just a few. I mean, they were the ones, they've all been used in Las Vegas, so I just had the old ones that were left. Yeah. But we have, okay, we have invited you in. We have taunted you in. That's the wrong
You're
word.
You're making yourself sound vampiric.
I know. And it was only because I was
Come
trying to get
to
my phone to
air, Foxy.
But because it's been HIV testing week.
It has indeed. I'm a face of National HIV Testing Week. Mm. There is this misconception that HIV only affects gay people or queer people, that it's a problem in Africa and nowhere else in the world, or that it's something that belonged and stayed in the 1980s. There's still a real issue with young people thinking that HIV has no relevance to them. Mm. And it does. Frighteningly as well, a high percentage of new diagnoses are amongst young women, and particularly young women of colour. So I was chosen as a face in order to get across the message that even sort of like white middle class folks who are shielded from lots of the fears in the world in lots of ways are still absolutely the same as everyone else and can get HIV.
I think that, because I'm 88 and I was on the I was on the scene when all the AIDS education first came out, and I was on the gay scene. I was doing a cabaret. Brilliant. A whole different life. Anyway.
I need to hear more.
Yeah,
about
a whole different life. It was called Chris Gibson and the Exhibitionists, and I was an exhibitionist, and my gimmick was to sing into a dildo called Derek.
Oh,
anyway,
where's
about
Derek
me.
Now?
A lady never tells, but watch me squirm. He's with me always, here and here.
Oh my God, I hope he's not porous.
Anyway, so I was playing the gay clubs when AIDS exploded, and there were bowls of condoms on the bar, and yeah. we all knew many, many people who died and were dying and subsequently died. And it was such a horrific time. Yeah. And I think what's kind of dangerous about how brilliant the campaign was and the medication since is it's not a death sentence now.
The word AIDS was actually first entered into a dictionary in 1982, the year I was born. Now, modern medication and modern treatment mean that most people in the UK, where we're very privileged and have access to great hospitals and doctors and specialists and great meds, most people who are diagnosed with HIV will not go on to develop AIDS. Yeah. Modern meds mean that most people on HIV have a very normal lifespan. In fact, if they get on the medication first, they actually have a longer projected lifespan because they tend to look after themselves better and go for regular medical MOTs. So because they're more aware of their health as a result of their diagnosis, a lot of them actually lead better lifestyles and pop their clogs a lot later than the rest of us. They can actually as well, using modern medication, a person's viral load, which is the number of copies of the HIV virus in their bloodstream, can be reduced to such a level that it's known as undetectable. That means that if you pop their blood in a test tube in a lab and test it, it will be very hard to find the virus. There's so little of it. It also means that they cannot pass the virus on. There's not enough of the virus present in their bodies for them to give it to someone else. Which means, theoretically, it is within our grasp now, not in the future, now, to eradicate HIV. If everyone who had it got tested and knew that they had it and then got on effective medication, which meant they couldn't pass it on, provided the virus didn't mutate, which it might do because these things tend to be clever, these little buggers, then we could stop HIV within a generation.
So let's put some minds at ease here. So if you're someone out there and you're listening to this and you're worried that you've got HIV and you want to get tested, but you're so worried about that result, let's do some settling. Let's put some people who at ease. Do you know, Alex Fox, what happens when you've gone in, you've gotten the test? Let's talk through that journey of literally practically what happens. Like, it's not like people are led away in handcuffs and taken to a padded cell and told you've got HIV and here's your medication. I'm assuming like there's going to be someone who's going to talk to them and give them the next steps.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it is completely normal to be nervous. I did a HIV test recently and I test regularly. Every time I still get the jitters. Yeah. Nobody, you know, it's really, really natural thing to feel some trepidation.
Yeah.
I think some people feel ashamed that they have that fear, and it can also actually be so great that it does put them off testing full stop. If you can go to a clinic with a friend if you want to, or you can actually, it's very easy to test at home these days. There's lots of clinics out there. If you go on, there's a website called startswithme.org that will help you find the closest clinic to you. But if that's inconvenient for whatever reason, or you just fancy testing in the privacy of your own home, then you can get a finger prick test, which will give you a result within 15 minutes. These are available free on the NHS, or you can go and buy one from high street stores like Superdrug, or you can order it on the internet. It will be sent in very discreet packaging to your door. They're about the same size as a DVD case, so it can be popped through your letterbox without your postman having to ding-dong on your doorbell, so you don't have to have an awkward conversation about whatever's in your parcel. Inside the kit, if you're testing at home, is a little tiny box. I'm trying to think what's a similar size, smaller than a matchbox. It's essentially like a little tiny stapler for your finger. You pop that on top of your finger, press down on it, it clicks, and then you just squeeze out one tiny pinprick, one tiny drop of blood. That's all you need. Because I think sometimes people imagine that you need carry amounts. You know, it's going to look like a horror film in there. You don't. It's a teeny tiny amount. If you're needle phobic, you never, ever see a needle. It's just a prick in a box.
There you go.
So just click your prick, and then you're done. Then you have a little test tube with like a spout on the end. You pop the spout on top of your finger and it automatically sucks up the blood. So it's really neat and tidy. It even comes with a plaster. So you, oh. My mum calls plasters Dolly Daydreams for some reason. Yeah.
Why?
I think it was a kid thing where if we had a plaster, we had a little smiley face drawn on it. And the person, is Dolly Daydream.
That has to stop.
But maybe at 36, I can just about move on from that. Hey, whatever gets you through your HIV test.
Okay, then I embrace Dolly Daydream. Okay.
So then you've got your test tube with the blood in the bottom. You pop it into a tiny, it comes with a, looks like a miniature milk carton of buffer solution. That's just, it's essentially like a liquid that mixes with your blood to help it rise up a paper that's encased within the test tube. And that paper has special chemicals that will react with antibodies in your bloodstream if HIV is present.
Can I say something, please?
Yeah.
My problem with that is, if it is present, you're on your own at home having to deal with that being present.
This was what's going to be our next question. Sorry, love. So what would be the practical steps from then?
Okay, well, you want to wait 15 minutes for the test to fully develop. If you've got one clear line there, you're negative. If two show up, then that's an indication that you're positive. Mm-hmm. What you will need to do then is go and see a medical professional to get a second test, just to double check that everything is as it seems. Some of them even come with a post-it note on the front that has a mobile phone number, so if someone is waiting for you can WhatsApp them. There are loads of numbers and details of various different websites with information, with support. So even though you might be testing alone, you are not alone. There are people waiting in the wings to help you. I must admit, this isn't suitable for everybody, and I say that for a lot of medicines and for a lot of tests, rather, and medical procedures which are being outsourced to people's homes. They're more convenient and they're more private, but it does mean that you don't have a doctor on hand with you. Mm. So it's worth thinking long and hard about what you might do and how you might feel if you did get a positive result, and whether it might be worth making the extra effort to make an appointment with someone if you think you'd freak out, or have a friend around who you trust. Mm. But if you do get that positive result, as well as getting a professional test, it's important to seek treatment as fast as you possibly can. 40% of new diagnoses in the UK at the moment are people who are late stage HIV, which means they've had it 3 to 5 years or more. That gives time for the virus to replicate in your body, which makes it harder for meds to get that viral load down. It's still possible. You can still manage it, but it may well have impacted upon your health more. And also, of course, the longer you have it without knowing it's there, the easier it is for you to pass on to other people. Yeah. So regular testing and prompt testing as soon as you think you may have been exposed to something is really, really important.
There's also a rise, I guess, in we were saying about over 50s who aren't using condoms.
Yeah, there's an STI epidemic, really, amongst people in their golden years who are seeing a silver lining to divorce as finding new partners or who are deciding that the end is in sight. They're going to get their leg over and have all of those boudoir adventures that they didn't manage or didn't feel confident enough to do earlier in their lifespans.
Yeah.
The problem is that after menopause, a lot of women, just because pregnancy isn't an issue, and a lot of their male partners, if it's men they're sleeping with, just don't think that contraception applies to them anymore. So they don't apply it to their penises, which means STIs, including HIV, are transmitted very easily. And if you're an older person whose immune system might already be compromised by age, then it does get a little bit harder to treat.
I'm just intrigued because I'm going to ask something that people, I guess, would ask if they're not using condoms, maybe younger people, I don't know, but that's patronising. But in terms of, if HIV isn't the death sentence it was, why protect against it?
As much as getting an HIV positive diagnosis now doesn't have the impact that it used to, you still don't want it. It means daily medication. And I interviewed somebody recently, Max, who is an HIV positive guy who also has diabetes. And he made the point that actually his diabetes is harder to manage than his HIV. He has to do regular tests to work out what his insulin levels are and inject himself with things multiple times a day. His HIV meds he only takes once. But although the meds now are better than they used to be, sometimes people do find that initially they upset their stomach. There are various initiatives out there to try and help people with HIV work out nutrition plans, because if you're eating well, it supports your overall health anyway. But if you are on a particular form of medication that makes your innards a little bit more sensitive than they would be usually, then sometimes you have to adjust what you're eating and when. And there is still, very sadly, a huge stigma attached to HIV. So having it doesn't just affect you physically, it can affect how you feel about yourself, and very regrettably and sadly, how other people feel about you. So it's certainly worth avoiding in the first place.
When you used
place.
To get tested, you'd give false names.
Yeah.
Because you never wanted, there was the whole thing that it would go on your insurance. Do you remember all that?
Oh, yeah. People worried that it would go on your insurance. Yeah. Or
there are still debates to be had about insurance. Yeah. I don't know all the facts of all different policies. That's a tricky one, I think. I'm afraid I don't know all the, I don't have all the knowledge I'd like to in that field.
And you've got to remember about what's happening in the world as well. You don't know whether the NHS, God bless it, whether we're going to have that in 10 years time.
Well, so there a may lot be... of HIV meds, sadly, are made in the EU. So me and a lot of folks
RIP
who involved,
the EU.
Yeah, a lot of people involved in HIV prevention and activism are concerned about how Brexit is going to affect
whether you'll be able to get the medication. We're always 1 minute away from a zombie apocalypse as well. Like when you've got a lot to think about on the zombie apocalypse, and like it's true. Where are you going to get your medication from?
Someone told me the other day there are ants.
There are ants.
No, but zombie ants.
There are certain parasites which can take over an ant's brain, and they control its behaviour. They make the ant crawl to the top of a blade of grass, where usually it would avoid that blade of grass in the midday sun because the ant would get burned and fried.
God.
But it wants the parasite wants to get inside a sheep or a cow, so it makes the ant crawl to the top of the grass so it gets eaten, and then the parasite gets to a larger host.
See, 1 minute away from a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. So. Ant zombie apocalypse.
I tell you what, for someone who's into people putting things inside themselves in a pleasurable manner, I know a lot about horrible things getting inside people as well, don't I? And animals.
It's life.
I think it's pros and cons. You have to know both.
Yeah.
You have to know the good ones so you can avoid the bad ones.
This is true.
That's, and is it the same as You should wait 3 months before you get tested. Is that still true?
HIV can lay in your system for around 6 weeks before it becomes evident in a test. That's because it takes time for your body to produce the antibodies in reaction to HIV, and that's what shows up on tests. So if you, say, had unprotected sex yesterday, getting an HIV test today may not give you an accurate result. It's worth going to get one anyway and being tested across the board for STIs, but then testing again and in around 3 months' time, 2 to 3 months' time, after which something might have developed. Regular testing is really, really important.
And remind me, there's PrEP.
There's PrEP and... Oh, right. This is a bit different. Okay. So the medication used to treat HIV in somebody who has it is called ART, antiretroviral treatment. You take usually one pill a day. Some people take a couple. There are a few different types that work differently for different people. Some people also have an antiemetic tablet, which stops them feeling sick if their particular body doesn't get along so well with their pills. Those pills are so effective that if you happen to miss one, because human beings are fallible, you're usually covered. I'm not saying that's a good thing to do, but in the same way that certain types of contraceptive pill, if you miss a pill in the middle of your pack, you take the next one as soon as possible and you're protected against pregnancy. ART is designed to try and be as realistic towards somebody's lifestyle as possible. You've also got PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis. This is a medication that you can take as a preventative measure. It's an insurance policy, if you will. Mm. If you have a lifestyle where you think you might be exposed to HIV, for example, you have partners that are HIV positive who whose viral loads are detectable, or you want to give yourself an extra protection, or you're someone who has a lot of casual sex, or for whatever reason you think you might be at risk of contracting HIV, if you take PrEP, then you can protect yourself from it. Access to PrEP on the NHS is not as universal as I would like it to be. There are some people who argue that if you give PrEP to people, then they will take less care of their more generalised sexual health, so they won't use condoms and things like that. I think the protection afforded by PrEP outweighs the potential risks. I also think if someone is on PrEP and trying to look after themselves, they're taking action to try and be a responsible human being.
Yeah.
It's a complicated debate, but I think PrEP is a really useful drug that anyone who wants it should have access to.
Yeah.
Then there's PEP, which is post-exposure prophylaxis. If you have a sexual encounter where you believe you may have been exposed to HIV from which you are not protected, so say a condom broke with someone whose HIV status you didn't know and couldn't find out, then as soon as possible, it's usually within 72 hours, I think, I need to just double check that figure because the medication becomes more efficient all the time. But as soon as possible, it's like the morning after pill, in the faster you take it, the more efficient it is. PEP can stop HIV taking hold of your system. We have so many more methods of combating and managing HIV than we ever have before.
So if PEP was available on the NHS, there'd be no need for the HIV testings.
PEP is available on the NHS.
Ah.
PEP is available.
So why do you need both?
PrEP is difficult, is sometimes more difficult to get hold of because these drugs are expensive.
I think it's such a shame that there's that stigma of where if people are giving PrEP that they're automatically going to launch themselves into a carefree lifestyle or something.
Yeah.
When actually that could be given to people who are in maybe an abusive relationship or something. And, you know, you were saying earlier that there's lots of women, that it's on a rise with women of colour, and there's plenty of countries where rape is used in wars and is weaponized. And those that also, that wouldn't it be great to go to those countries so that the women and the men there are protected?
Unfortunately,
it's not just
access to all of these medications in countries other than the UK is not optimal. There is still very sadly a huge problem with HIV in Africa, and that's partly because access to meds is more difficult. There, I spoke to a wonderful woman from a charity called Mothers to Mothers who particularly work with women in various African regions who are pregnant with children and who are also HIV positive. If you are on effective HIV meds as a positive woman, then you can fall pregnant and not pass the virus on to your baby, which again is revolutionary. The meds can also stop you passing on the virus via breastfeeding because it can be conveyed that way. She was saying though that there are women and men in Africa who come to the clinics for their checkups, discover that they are HIV positive and are given life-saving medication, and they throw it away because the stigma of having HIV is so massive that they're more worried about what will happen to them if they're seen to be taking those tablets than they are about the certain death that will follow if they do not treat their HIV.
Heard a horrific story recently. Someone died. This person was telling me that they went to sort the death certificate, and the cause of death was something, but this person was also HIV positive.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman that was giving the death certificate out kind of whispered, did you know the status? And this person was going, yeah, this person did know the status.
Yeah.
And why are you whispering it? And she was like, well, you know, some people don't like it. So even a medical professional who's in the most excruciating situation of giving someone a death certificate has still got an issue with someone being HIV.
There is still stigma amongst the medical community, I believe. I've experienced this myself when I have gone to my doctor and asked for an STI screening, and I've been asked, do you want to be tested for HIV as well? I think it should be automatically included within your sexual MOT. But because I am a white heterosexual woman, I was considered at lower risk. Mm. There's also this psychological link that some doctors have to HIV being more scary. So they ask you separately whether you'd like to test for it. I mean, that is, in a way, for me, perpetuating and underlining that fear. I don't see it as a helpful thing.
Yeah.
And I think more doctors need training on how to approach this in a way where they see it as empowering people. Knowledge really is power when it comes to HIV. Knowing your status is liberating and reassuring. And even if you do find out you're positive, then you know and you can do something about it. You can look after yourself. You can look after the other people that you're having encounters with. And I just think that ignorance helps nobody.
Oh, thanks very much to Alex. Did you learn lots then?
I learned too much.
I think so.
I feel a bit giddy with all that information.
My name's been Miranda Kane.
And I am Bibi Lynch.
Good Sex, Bad Sex was dragged into a difficult birth by Sam Bonham.
You are so nasty. Join us next week for Good Sex, Bad Sex.
Miranda.
Ms. Lynch.
I've bought us matching outfits.
Oh.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because you and I are going out. Not together, you freak. Mm. We're going out. We're going out to the public. We're going to meet le public. That's
what,
German
what
for the public.
Fool has allowed that?
Phoenix Arts Club are hosting two live podcasts, Good Sex, Bad Sex podcasts, with an interval, so you can get some booze to wash it all away.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. It's February the 12th.
Yeah.
And we have two incredible surprise guests.
Oh, I'm looking forward to them. I am.
Have you dated them?
Not that I know of.
Okay, that's fair enough. So yeah, we're going to wear the onesie. Oh, I gave it away. But it's going to be amazing. How do people get hold of us, please? How do people get tickets?
People can get tickets from the Phoenix Artists Club themselves. So it's just phoenixartsclub.com.
.com.
They are a mere £10, which if you think about it, it's only £2.50 per person that they get to entertain them. So that's me, you, two fantastic guests.
What about producer Sam?
Do we call him entertaining?
He just whooped.
Just a presence.
Just a presence. An awfully wrapped presence. So we hope we see you then.
Yes, please do come along.
I want a vodka and tonic. Can I ask people to buy me a vodka and tonic?
No, I mean, you can ask. Okay. Doesn't necessarily mean you'll get.
Here's something that's going to make you want to come along. Guess which crisps they sell at Phoenix.
What?
Tatoes.
Oh.
My Irish friends know.
Classic. Yeah.